This is Fresh Air. Jennifer Haig's new novel is about a lot of things: rural working class life, the demise of the coal mining industry, and the rise of fracking. But our book critic, Maureen Carrigan, says that more than anything else, Heat and Light is about the nightmarish side of American ingenuity and desire. Here's her review.
More than most places, Pennsylvania is what lies beneath. That's a line Jennifer Haig places at the beginning and the end of her latest novel, Heat and Light. Haig knows a lot about what lies beneath in Pennsylvania. She was born in the coal country of western Pennsylvania, and her 2005 best-selling novel, Baker Towers, traced the rise and fall of the fictional coal town Bakerton in the years following World War II. Haig returned to Bakerton a few years ago in her short story collection, News from Heaven. Now, in Heat and Light, she's paying a more extended visit. For Haig, Bakerton is becoming something akin to Faulkner's apocryphal Yoknapatawpha County. It's a place she's brought to life so scrupulously that she can delve deep, both into the minds and family histories of her mostly working-class characters, as well as into the land itself and the stories it contains. Heat and Light is her most ambitious and compelling novel yet. What Tom Wolfe did for the New York City of the so-called go-go 80s in The Bonfire of the Vanities, Haig does here for Bakerton and the obscure real-life locales it's based on in this, our own era of fracking frenzy. Heat and Light is an exquisitely designed, semi-satirical social novel featuring a cast of at least 15 main characters. The central story revolves around fracking, the method by which natural gas trapped underground in shale rock is released through drilling and the injection of a high-pressure mixture of water, chemicals, and sand. The novel opens in 2010 when a salesman comes to town representing a Texas company called Dark Elephant Energy. In simple 2-minute pitches, the salesman offers farmers around Bakerton a sweet deal whereby Dark Elephant leases their land, drills into what he calls nature's safe deposit box, and releases the treasure of natural gas. He claims the drill will run so far beneath the land that farming can go on as usual. In return, the farmers get a leasing bonus up front and a percentage of future profits. Who would say no to such easy money, right? But the regrets skyrocket a couple of years later, after the tap water gets funky and residents begin suffering from rashes and boils, memory loss and miscarriages. After the natural gas boom goes bust, and Dark Elephant drill workers, some of whom we've gotten to know, are laid off, stiffed on their last paycheck. After the old hardwood forests are cut down, and muddy clearings the size of shopping malls are carved out. That's when most folks in Bakerton realize they've been royally fracked. The challenge with such a political and heavily populated novel like Heat and Light is to make us readers care, to topple us from our Olympian condescension and get us to identify with these characters and the mistakes they make out of greed and need. As spectacular as Haig's panoramic social focus is in this novel, whisking us from Dark Elephant's shareholders meeting in Houston into Bakerton's taverns, the Walmart, the local meth head hangouts, and storefront churches, she's also superb at getting us into the nitty-gritty of her characters' worldview, as well as their speech. Most Bakerton natives begin their sentences with the resigned preface, "Anyways." Chief among them is Rich Devlin, who's inherited his family's property but works as a prison guard because he can't afford to farm. Rich's father always told him that there are two kinds of work, the kind where you shower before and the kind where you shower after. Rich can't wait to scrub the prison smells off him every night. With the money from Dark Elephant, Rich thought he could finally quit the prison job and begin farming. but now his water and land are polluted. He can't even afford to sue. Anyways, there are so many contractors and subcontractors involved, he wouldn't know where to begin. In another one of her signature poetic pronouncements on her home territory, Jennifer Haig says that rural Pennsylvania doesn't fascinate the world, not generally, but cyclically, periodically, its innards are of interest. Bore it, strip it, set it on fire, a burnt offering to the collective need. In heat and light, Haig succeeds in making rural Pennsylvania, its land and people, plenty fascinating. Through the intimacy of her sweeping portrayal of Bakerton and the world beyond, she also compels readers to think about what we value and what possessions and dreams we sell off way too cheap.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Heat and Light by Jennifer Haig. Tomorrow on Fresh Air, the misuse of local jails, how they've become a warehouse for people too poor to post bail, and why these people often grow even poorer while in jail, in part because many jails charge for room and board and other services. We'll talk with Nancy Fishman, project director of the Center on Sentencing and Corrections at the Vera Institute of Justice. I hope you'll join us. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our interviews and reviews are produced and edited by Amy Sallet, Phyllis Myers, Anne-Marie Baldonado, Sam Brigger, Lauren Krenzel, John Sheehan, Heidi Simon, Teresa Madden, and Thea Chaloner. I'm Terry Gross.